Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah!
I finished these fights.
Give me a hell yeah!
Top Rope Nation.
Learn to love it! It's the best thing going today.
What's up, everybody? It's almost the weekend. It's Thursday night. It means it's time for episode Justin 299 of Top Rope Nation. Crept up on us. I hadn't really been thinking about it. I knew we were hitting 300 really soon. Didn't realize it was next week. Trying to get some plans in motion to do a little something special for that show. But that is, it's been a long time coming, sir. How you doing?
I'm good. That is a lot of hours of us talking professional wrestling.
That's for sure.
Hey, you know, Frank's in the chat.
Heck yeah, man. Hell yeah. You know what's even crazier about this is that, I mean, technically, we've really done over 400 episodes. When you put in all the Patreon bonus shows, there's over 100 bonus shows on Patreon too. So 300 of the flagship, I mean, but over 400 episodes total. So we are going to be looking to do something maybe a little special for that next week. I'll get to that here in just a minute. But Of course, I'm Ryan Drosty, your host ever since episode one. And I am joined by Mr. Justin Joint, who's been on the program since January of 2017. Justin, how's your week going?
Oh, it's not too bad. My friend, a lot of action happening in sports since the last time we podcasted. I mean, we could do an entire podcast just on that. I mean, Liv and PGA merging, Zion just can't get enough of that sweet poon. But since Frank is here, I mean, Jacob DeGrom, he's gone for the season. Nuggets are world champs. And most importantly, Messi is coming to America.
Yeah. A lot has happened in the last 2 weeks. That's
and,
for sure.
And best of all, my absolute favorite sports time of the year is just upon us, and that is NBA offseason. The greatest sport in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see what drama unfolds there. I'm sure my Chicago Bulls will do nothing to get any better, but, you know, have some hope out there. We had the big grill, the Top Rope Nation grill out, Justin, since the last time we were on the air. We did do a bonus show, though, since we've been off. Top Rope Nation Classics with Matthew Madrell. That we went back to the very first edition of WCW Super Brawl. A lot of fun. You can check out a teaser of that on our main feed, the full show behind the Patreon paywall. But, you know, you can sign up, become a patron for a 7-day free trial and check out the whole show. It was over 2.5 hours long. A lot of fun. Matthew was awesome to have on. Did a great job. He's been a loyal patron for a long, long time. So, Justin, we're in the deep. That we're getting into the depths of summer here. We've got smoke invading from Canada. It's been really hazy outside. I have been putting up a basketball hoop the last couple of days for my kids. And
we're still cementing doing that?
It tomorrow morning. Yeah, dude, this is quite the process. You got to dig a 4-foot deep hole by 18 inches diameter. And you got to put in the concrete. There's a lot of bags of concrete for a hole that size. And we're in the process. So I'm pretty exhausted, but I think I'm going to power through. We got some good stuff to talk about.
I spent about 50% of last weekend assembling a swing set at my house. And I only ended up with 2 giant leftover pieces that definitely should be on that swing set somewhere, but they're going in the garbage.
Yeah. Well, hey, something for my kids to check out the next time.
There we go.
We are at your house for sure. What else has been going on here? What else do I have on in the agenda? So, yeah, episode 300. Oh, by the way, here's what we're going to do for episode 300. We've done this for episodes 200 and 100 in the past. would love to hear from all of you who are out there listening to the show. Patreon member, longtime listener and lurker, maybe we've never heard from you before, fellow podcasters, wrestling writers, you know, whatever. We would love to get some type of message from you that we can play during episode 300 next week. So all you need to do is email me an audio file. It can be very brief. Your name, congrats on episode 300. That's it. You could include a favorite memory from the show, what you like about the show, anything like that. You can record just from your computer microphone. If you have a setup like us, you know, an actual microphone, that's great. Hell, you can just take out voice memo on your cell phone, record it, and email it to me. Any of that will work. Just send it to topropenation@gmail.com. I'm going to make a whole montage of all the messages we get to play on the show next week. That should be a lot of fun. In the past, it was really good on episodes 100 and 200. So here we are hitting 300 next week. Would love to hear from all of you. Send in a message. Well, maybe not all of you. You know, I can't mix several hundred of you. Make me, well, you know what? Whatever. Make me work. Send in as many as you can. And we'll have like a 10-minute montage, maybe. Who knows? But hey, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. You finish.
No, that's, I was just going to say that that's it. I mean, we've done in the past. It was a blast. Would love to hear from everybody.
I was going to do this off air, run this by you, but maybe it'd be funner to bring it up on air. So anybody who's listening, if maybe they'd want to join us for the possibility of what our next draft could be. I was texting you about this. My idea for a draft that we could do with the big four in WWE, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and WrestleMania would be drafting our card, our SummerSlam card, where you would get to draft, you have to draft a world title match, a secondary title match, a tag title match, a stipulation match, and just a singles match. So I think we would need at least four guys or gals are also welcome. And I think the one caveat that I'd like to add to that is once a match is drafted, nobody else can take that match. But also, once you, let's say if you drafted Bret Hart versus Owen Hart as your world title match, you cannot draft any more Bret Hart or Owen Hart matches on your card.
Okay. So we did something similar to this once, right? With WrestleMania.
Did we?
So that was when we had Adrian on from Twitch, because he had picked that pre-show tag team match, remember, and we were stunned, and then we went back and watched it. It was really good.
So this is not a new idea. Damn it.
But we've only done it for WrestleMania.
Well, there we go. SummerSlam. We did it for SummerSlam.
We did. Yeah, it was like Ultimate WrestleMania match card or something like that. Yeah, we haven't done a draft in a really, really long time. So, yeah, I'm trying to figure out what episode that was that we did that.
I think we should do that for SummerSlam. And then, obviously, in about 17 episodes, we will be doing another draft for a certain wrestler that I'm sure nobody would be able to guess who that is.
Sorry, hold on a second. I'm trying to find this. Yeah. Which wrestler? Sorry. I thought I had found the show, but I didn't.
Well, I assume we'll be, our next draft maybe be the SummerSlam card one. Mm-hmm. And then in about 17 episodes, we'll be doing a draft for another wrestler that I'm sure nobody would be able to guess.
Oh, okay. Episode 316. I see what you're saying. Yeah. I know a great guest we could get for that one for sure. Yeah. It was WrestleMania's greatest matches fantasy draft a couple of years ago. Yeah. Us three. Well, me, you, Kyle, and Adrian. That's okay, right.
But was that just greatest matches? Because this would be putting together a card.
Yeah. I mean, I remember we had rules for it. Like you needed a tag match, you needed a world title match, a singles match. So it's kind of similar.
Okay. I'm going to have to go back and look. I don't remember the other one or two categories. There was just wild cards or whatnot.
Yeah, it has definitely been a while since we did that. I can't even find the date on this show. I know it's on YouTube. I remember we streamed it for sure. But yeah, we'll do something like that for sure. That sounds like a good idea. I like it, Justin. I like it a lot.
All right.
And then we got Top Rope Nation Classics coming up here real soon as well. The vote ends here in a couple of hours. We'll see what comes out on top. We can announce that on our next show. But yeah, got some great contenders here for Top Rope Nation Classics. We got New Japan Dominion 2018. We got WWF King of the Ring 2001 and WCW Beach Blast 92 are the three finalists. It's kind of a two-horse race right now. We will see what comes out on top.
King of the Ring. Vote King of the Ring, everybody.
Yes, indeed. That's what we're pulling for. It's in first right now, so we'll see. But I think most of the votes are probably in by now because we're pretty close to the amount of like the total votes we usually get in these polls. Not everyone votes for some reason. If you're a patron, please vote. But we're getting close. So, all right, Justin, let's get into it here. Enough horsing around. Let's look at Dynamite last night. AEW Dynamite Wednesday night, making headlines for a few reasons. They aired a promo video with new footage of CM Punk ahead of his return on Collision, which debuts this Saturday night. The show was absolutely loaded from a match card perspective. One of the most loaded up editions of Dynamite we have seen ever. We'll debate that here in just a second. Ratings wise, the show did not do too well. And they've had some declining ratings. I mean, if you look at the overall rankings, it was number three on cable. But still, I mean, they weren't at 1 million viewers. They were like 800,000 or so viewers. I don't have the number in front of me right now. But yeah, as much as they hyped it in the fact that they had MJF and Adam Cole, and they promoted that ahead of time, you know, they had the trios match in the main event with Blackpool Combat Club and the Elite. You would have hoped they could have popped a better number. That being said, hell of a show. We were talking about it over in the Facebook group, and I truly believe that broadcast is in the running for best Dynamite of all time. I didn't see you chime in on that, Justin, so I want to get your take on it. Where did you think that this ranked? And I mean, in general, what did you think of the show last night?
I really enjoyed the show. I do have some nitpicks. Some things I didn't really like about it, or I should say some things that brought it down from being an elite tier Dynamite. I mean, it's definitely up there for all time. I don't have the kind of memory where I could give you a date or even remember an entire card of Dynamite. It has to be something kind of unique and special. That's why when I saw this on the agenda, the first one that popped into my head was the first Grand Slam, which felt like a pretty special event. And obviously it had that amazing Omega Danielson match to kick it off. And while, you know, and the other one that came to mind was the Brody Lee one, but that's probably too much of a downer to be called a greatest Dynamite.
Well, funny you should say that, because that one is ranked the number one Dynamite of all time. If you go on Cage Match. But I feel like it's a different kind of show.
Yes.
You know, like you can't really factor that one in like a standard edition of Dynamite just because it was a tribute to Brody Lee right after his death and everything. So if you're seeing it here on the screen right now, this is, according to Cage Match and the voting on there, the top editions of Dynamite in the show's history. And you can see there it's at number 7 right now, or number 6 if you don't include the Brody Lee tribute show. But it's tied for number 6 or number 5, depending on how you're looking at this.
And boy, that's a lot of 2023 on there for everybody kind of complaining that it hasn't been all that good this year. Or that it's been subpar, people are saying. Not me.
Yeah. It is a little bit skewed. So if you guys are not watching us right now and you're listening on the podcast feed, which most people are still listening on audio and not tuning into the video feed. So let me just kind of explain to you what we're looking at here. So outside of the Brody Lee show, the number one voted Dynamite of all time happened back February 19th, 2020 in Atlanta. And if that's not ringing a bell for you, it was the one that was headlined by Cody and Wardlow in the steel cage match. It also had Hangman and Omega against the Lucha Brothers in a really, really good tag match. Moxley, Jeff Cobb was on that show. There was a tag team number one contender battle royal that a lot of people really liked in that show. So, I mean, mostly it was the cage match, though, at the end with Cody and Wardlow. And that's outside of the Brody Lee tribute, the number one ranked Dynamite of all time. And then the next one, was January of this year in Los Angeles. And that was the show that was headlined by Match 7 and the Best of 7 between the Elite and Death Triangle. That also had Brian against Takeshita on that show, Hangman Page against John Moxley. So that was a pretty loaded up show as well.
Yeah.
And then you go back to June 2022, Los Angeles, right after Double or Nothing. Of course, you know, MJF cut the memorable promo on that show. Moxley and Garcia in the main event. We had a 10-man tag on that show. Yeah.
But real quick, that rating is not going to take into account stuff like MJF's promo, right?
I believe.
I thought it was just matches that are getting the ratings. So these are kind of skewed, I'm pretty sure, just towards matches.
Yeah. So the way it's done, because I don't actually vote on these myself. So how the total rating is calculated by a formula, it looks like they have. So yeah, they're looking at the matches themselves. I don't know that you can actually just rate the show off the top of your head. I'm not sure. I don't vote in them. So I couldn't tell you. But yeah, I mean, there's quite a few high ranking matches, although it's weird because, like, if you look at this Dynamite from June of 2022, so like the overall rating on there, as you can see, is 9.08. Now there's no matches on there that are ranked 9.08. The highest is 8.16, which is really high on Cage Match. So they have some kind of formula to determine this. Yeah. So, and that was of course also the show where CM Punk fractured his foot jumping into the crowd. And then, I mean, the only other shows, Detroit, May of this year, just a few weeks ago, May 10th, 2023, that show had Moxley and Omega in the steel cage in the main event, House of Black against Bandido and Best Friends, Orange Cassidy against Daniel Garcia, Claudio against Rey Fénix. Yeah, that was a pretty good one. And then we've got one from Charleston, West Virginia in August of last year. That one had Danielson and Garcia in the 2 out of 3 falls match. The Elite against Andrade, Dragon Lee, and Roosh. And yeah, those are the two. There are only 4 matches on that show. So, boy, I think last night's was better than that one. I think it's tied right now with the West Virginia show. It's probably going to climb. Yeah, I really liked it, Justin. I thought that opening match with Cole and MJF last night took me a little while to get into it. You know, there's a lot of discussion about this in our Facebook group. Adam Cole, credible challenger to MJF. And I'm not like I want a wrestler to look like he can kick some ass, but I'm also not someone who can't suspend disbelief a little bit. Yeah, Adam Cole's a smaller guy, and he's smaller than he used to be. You know, he's gone through some injuries. But he is still a hell of a worker and someone who's very, very popular. You know, you listen to the crowd last night, they're really into it. And I thought the way it ended with the time limit thing was fine. If, you know, they didn't want to beat MJF, they wanted to keep Adam Cole strong. I thought it was pretty creative. I really enjoyed it. I was definitely buying into some of the near falls towards the end, especially when they brought in the foreign objects and everything. Mm-hmm. So I got into it more than I thought. I didn't think we were going to see a 30-minute draw going in. I actually liked the promo the week before too, more than some people I think did. It got me a little bit hyped up for the match. I'm not going to lie. I liked the promo. And so I thought it was a hot start to the show, obviously a hot finish with that trios match. And then all the people running out to set up Forbidden Door. I thought that Sky Blue was awesome in the women's title match.
Agreed.
We've talked before about her. We've always thought that she's a really good rising star, like that, you know, that her mom was there in the front row. So that was really good. I liked the promo segment with Darby and, you know, Sting coming out and everything that happened there. Sammy Guevara, I don't really buy him as a babyface quite yet. Jericho, of course, in that segment as well. Go ahead.
I mean, as far as Sammy goes, boy, they're going to have to do something special for them to get the crowd to actually cheer for him. Cause I'm just not seeing in them doing the whole, you know, I'm having a baby girl stuff. That, I mean, I think we're both kind of sentimental saps when it would come to that. And it didn't work on me. Didn't make, you know, I think WWE tried that with The Miz in early 2018 when he had his girl, and it's like, he's going to change everything. And if you remember, in the IC title match at WrestleMania, you know, he told his entourage to go to the back when he came out. So they were trying to do some sort of baby face turn with the Miz, with him being a new dad, and it didn't work then. And honestly, I don't see it working now. And I assume it's heading towards a feud with Jericho, and he might be a little too over with the crowd for it, for that to help too. So I don't think I had a lot of work cut it out for them to get everybody to boo Sammy.
Yeah. I mean, I think you got to be real careful with something like this. Sammy is not, you know, like, the crowd has hated him in the past, you know, and the stuff he's done with Ty Mello has been just really obnoxious, and we haven't been fans of that. And if you want to turn him, like, bringing in that real life stuff, which the fans have booed before, like, everyone's happy about somebody having a baby. Yes. Yeah. But like, you have to be careful with that, because it has to be someone that the fans already like, I think, for them to care about it. If they, if they don't already like you, that's not going to make them like you. They're just going to be like, who cares? I don't give a shit if Sammy Guevara has a baby. You know, like, and why would that make them love you?
They've been so obnoxious as a couple on television with, you know, all the PDA and, you know, everything in their past, stealing titles and just, I don't know, man. I dig the match they set up. I'm looking forward to Sting and Darby versus Jericho and Sammy. I kind of liked the face off of Sting and Jericho. I'm glad I hope they're not doing a one-on-one match there and they just keep it to a tag match.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, also they're in DC. Think about the history of that building. Sting, Starrcade 97, you know, same building. So that was kind of cool thinking about that, watching him out there. I mean, anytime we're seeing Sting at this stage in his career, it's always fun to see him. So I did like how they rolled that segment right into that trios match, you know, and I thought that that was pretty good.
Eight man match.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. The results I'm looking at labeled it a trios match for some reason, eight man match. That would be correct. And let's see what else was on there. Wardlow and Jake Hager. Okay. That was the down point.
I fast forwarded through it. I'm over the whole Wardlow thing right now. They need to completely repackage him or something.
Yeah. Wardlow, not hot right now. I mean, huge turnaround from where he was. I do too. They really missed the ball not paying for War Pigs. Really missed the ball.
Yep.
And they've totally tried a couple of different themes since then. I mean, we're about the 1 year anniversary now of when things started turning south for him. I mean, right after Double or Nothing last year, he has not recovered. And then, you know, Jake Hager, does anybody care about Jake Hager in 2023? So I was not into that match. It was fine though, you know, for what it was. Yeah.
You know, and going into a match with Luchasaurus, nobody's going to buy a title change there. I wouldn't think.
No, I don't think so. So, yeah, that was definitely the down part of the show. But then, you know, this kind of always happens about halfway through Dynamite. There's the lull and then they start amping you up for the main event. And the main event was just like nonstop action. I mean, you almost have to like watch this twice, maybe three times to see everything that happened. Mm-hmm. I was really curious if they would do something to get the Elite off TV for next week, because they are going to be in Chicago. We know that Punk's going to be on Collision, and like, is he going to be on Dynamite? They don't have a hard brand split. We expect Punk to mostly be on Collision, but I think it'd be foolish if he's never on Dynamite. And if he's ever going to be on Dynamite, surely the hometown crowd just a few days later is going to be chanting for him all night long, you would think. So like, do you think he'll be on Dynamite next week, Justin? What do you think?
He should be. It's going to be really weird if he's not. I mean, you can't expect that Chicago crowd to be satiated just with his appearance on Collision.
Yeah.
But it's going to be the elephant in the room. Just like if they continue going forward without ever doing a Punk versus the Elite match.
I mean, you got to, if everyone's going to be there, rip off the Band-Aid and get them all in the same building, because it's going to happen when you have pay-per-views anyways. It's Chicago. I mean, this show was on sale before Collision. And so, you know, I'm going to be there. And I would like to see a CM Punk there. But, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people that bought tickets to that show want to see him and thought about it when they got those tickets. So I think it'd be foolish not to have him on the show, but I kind of had that in the back of my mind as I was watching the main event. Is like, you know, we know Will Ospreay came out and took out Omega and everything, but like, is there something that's going to happen to take him off next week? We'll see. I don't think anything really happened to do that, but certainly they don't have to be on the show if they don't want to be in the same building as him.
Yeah. And if he's not going to be on Dynamite, and if he's not going to be on the Forbidden Door card, then next week Dynamite, you just need to lean in to the build up for Forbidden Door. And you got to jam pack that show too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a go home show already. I mean, we're almost to Forbidden Door. A lot of that card has been really in flux. I can tell you that for sure. I know a few weeks ago we talked about it, and at that point in time, Punk was absolutely not scheduled to be on the show, and MJF was not either. They've worked MJF out to work Tanahashi in the last couple of weeks. And then, you know, plans with Punk have really changed a lot too. At one point in time, he was going to be working against Samoa Joe in his return. And then they started thinking that they want that to be more of a program than just a one-off match, which we've talked about in the past. It seemed kind of odd that they would just do the match and move on. Mm-hmm. And then I told you when we got together for that barbecue that I had heard that they were going to make that six-man match, which was just like 3 days before they announced it. And so that's going to play into, you know, Punk and FTR and Bullet Club Gold and Joe, everything happening there. That's going to, you know, parlay into the Punk match with Samoa Joe later on, which I think is a much better route. And then, you know, what's been happening with Forbidden Door, there's talk that Punk could wrestle Kenta there, but that is not for sure. We've been talking about this in the Facebook group for like a week, and it came out like a week ago that was like the working plan. And then I chimed in on the Facebook group and I said, that's definitely not for sure, because I do know that Punk doesn't really want to work with him. he kind of thinks Kenta's past his prime. They've had some, you know, everything with the go to sleep and everything. They've had some awkward interactions, not so friendly interactions in the past. And Punk just, this even as recently as the New Japan show in California that Punk attended earlier this year. And so Punk just doesn't really want to work with him. But if Tony Khan tells him he wants him to work him, he will. And contractually, he will. But it's not set yet. I know they've been trying to work out the contracts for that and to get Kenta over there, and they could announce it Saturday, could announce it Wednesday, or maybe it doesn't happen at all. But it is possible, but it's definitely not confirmed at this point in time. And I can tell you for sure, Punk is not super on board with it, but he'll do it if he has to.
I mean, come on, Tony, make him do it. Just rip a huge line and flex some muscle.
Just make it. It's show the him least boss right away.
Yeah, it's the least Punk could do for what he's put us fans through in the past year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be a good match to add to the card. This card that's absolutely freaking stacked. I know people on Twitter and stuff want to talk about the stories and where are the stories, but like, it's just supposed to be a dream card. That's not the type of show this is. This is for the hardcores, right?
Exactly.
And I mean, you look at the dream card. Yeah. Kazuchika Okada and Brian Danielson. All right. I mean, here's my $50 just off of that.
Exactly.
One.
That could just be that match. I'll pay $50 for 30 minutes of those two.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get Omega and Will Ospreay. Obviously we know that those guys can do. We've got MJF and Tanahashi now. What else is confirmed? Sonata and Jungle Boy.
Not a great look when your world champion is probably as of right now the fourth most important match on the card, and it's far below the other three.
Oh yeah, and if they do get Punk and Kenta, I mean, below that one too. But I mean, still, those top three matches, you're gonna be hard pressed to find a pay-per-view can rival that just at the top, you know, that's not a WrestleMania or a SummerSlam. I mean, it is really, really top heavy, but I mean, just awesome matches. It looks like Orange Cassidy and Zack Sabre Jr. It's not confirmed yet, but they basically leaned into that last night as well.
I would put that on my excitement scale way above MJF and Tanahashi. Tanahashi's just basically become a jobber to the stars in the past couple years, which is fine. He's earned a paycheck and
he's the living legend. I mean,
yeah, exactly. I don't know. I'm not really looking forward to that one all that much. Obviously, MJF is on a hell of a roll as far as match quality goes. But yeah, all I need is those two main events. That's good enough for me.
You know, you talked about not a good look with the also the IWGP world title. That's also the belt itself, Justin. Ugh. Still not a good look. Every time I see it on TV, I'm like, I cannot believe they changed the IWGP world title belt. That new one that it's been quite some time now, has not grown on me. The last IWGP title, would you agree, is like one of the greatest championship belts of all time?
Absolutely.
Why change it? Why change it? The new one is so bad. It does not look like a world championship belt. It just doesn't. I don't like it. I can't get into it. Sonata and Jungle Boy not doing a lot for me. But yeah, those other ones, yeah, especially at the top, Okada and Bryan, like you said, fork over the $50 to see that. And I do want to see Punk and Kenta just because it's, you know, the go to sleep, the war of the go to sleep, and the history there, and two big stars. Why not?
So Frank asked a good question: is what goes on last? You do the United States title match, since that's for the belt, and it's a match that has, you know, already in January they've had one that everybody is calling match of the year. So that you basically got a guaranteed banger with something on the line, as opposed to just the dream match with, you know, the work rate Hogan and Rock match, basically.
Yeah, this is tough because, I mean, you can make the argument that Bryan and Okada are just going to tear down the house, mm-hmm. and you can put that up. I mean, that's the ultimate dream match on the show because we haven't seen it. Omega and Ospreay would make a lot of sense because, I mean, we know that one's probably going to get over 5 stars if they deliver like we think it can. And then you got your world champion with MJF. You know, we talked about this with Double or Nothing, how they could have opened with MJF. This is another show where, like, when you look at what else is on this card, maybe open with MJF and Tanahashi, because I don't think that that one should headline.
Are we going to get some shenanigans, speaking of, you know, the Dynamite that you're going to be at, as far as how Tony is going to make MJF show up there? Or is there any chance that this was kind of a red herring match announcement? Because
they officially announced it on the broadcast. And you think, what, they're going to pull it?
I don't think it's going to sell any extra tickets, do you? I mean, if they pulled a swerve or something.
There could be someone out there that's like, I ordered that $50 pay-per-view in advance just for that match. Suppose. How could you do that to me?
Weirdos.
Yeah. I think it'll happen. I think it'll happen since they had the graphic and they've been promoting it on social media. I think it'll happen.
Now, so I am curious to see how they get to it, though. Because, I mean, even today, MJF tweeted, like, nope, not going to be there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of confrontation on Wednesday night to finalize it for sure. I'm hoping Okada's at that show on Wednesday night. I've never seen Okada in person. I've tried many times, never seen him. So if you guys are watching live and Okada comes out on Dynamite, know that I'm in the stands going crazy. Brian in the chat from the Torch says, MJF opens, Kenny closes, Brian in the middle. Yeah, I'd be on board with that.
I think that's the right call.
Yeah, I think that would be great match layout.
Especially, you know, as AEW can throw New Japan a bone with what I'm assuming is Ospreay getting the U.S. title back.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what's confirmed right now for Forbidden Door. Of course, we'll be talking about the finalized card next week on the show, and I'll talk about my experience at Dynamite when we hit the airwaves next week, and then we will review it at some point. I don't know the schedule yet on the review for that, and when we'll be available to do that, just because of work schedules and we'll get back to you on that one. But we will be doing a show again, episode 300 next week, and we will preview the finalized card. Now, before we get there, Collision happening on Saturday night. We do know pretty much that full card at this point in time. Of course, we talked about Punk. We'll get back to him here in a second. And that 6-man that's going to headline. Sounds like Punk will also be cutting a promo on that show. He's leaned into the fact that he doesn't know what he'll say when he gets the microphone, and that he has a lot he wants to get off of his chest. You know, leaning into that promo he did, what, 12 years ago with the WWE, the pipe bomb.
I missed you guys. I'm so happy to be back.
It'd be weird if he didn't have a promo early in the show, right? Like if they just, he just came out for the match. It'd be kind of,
That's going to open the show is the Punk promo.
Yeah, for sure. And then we also know we're going to have Wardlow and Luchasaurus, TNT title. We're going to have Sky Blue and Willow Nightingale against Tony Storm and Ruby Soho. So they set up that match on Dynamite when Willow ran out for the save with Sky to confront Tony and Ruby. We know Buddy Matthews is going to take on the returning Andrade. And we also know that Miro is going to return on the show. So heavily promoted during Dynamite. We know Saturday night is not always the best night for television ratings, especially in the summer, but they're doing what they can to make everyone aware that this is on TNT on Saturday night. You should tune in, that it's Punk's return. And you know, as hard of a time slot as that could be, Justin, there's been other wrestling shows in the past that have thrived on Saturday nights. That's why I'm wearing the shirt Saturday night's main event. Of course, WCW Saturday night for all those.
You were talking about Shotgun Saturday night,
which we have reviewed. Was that the very first one? Or the
I
second
believe
one?
So. Yeah,
I think it was the very first one on Top Rope Nation Classics in the past. That was actually a pretty fun show to go back and look at. So, yeah, it's a challenge, but I'm really looking forward to it. I am really excited to see the look of the show, you know, with how they've made the logo kind of an homage to Nitro. What's the set going to look like? Is it going to be just like Dynamite, or they change?
That would be
bit?
A huge letdown if it's the same set.
We talked about that in the past. You know, we like the unique sets, and with the big video screens, it's now like a crutch where they can just use the same setup and just change the images on it. I don't like that. I want it physically to look different in some, even just like the alignment of the entranceway or something, you know, to make it stand out and look different from their other show. I want to see it look totally different.
What if the background is like this giant screen that looks like stars kind of a little bit, and then on the stage is this giant like unreadable collision that, you know, kind of separates for people to come out? That'd be pretty cool, right?
Oh, you're talking about the Nitro set, like the Star Wars Nitro set,
the Thunder. Yeah.
Bad. I guess Thunder had that same look too, didn't it? Yeah, they both had like the stars background. Yeah. Oh my god. Now I would be okay if they replicated, not exactly, it'd be too much of a rip off, but made it look a little bit like the original Nitro set.
I think that'd be cool. I agree. Yeah.
But I was trying to find a look of that Nitro set to put up on the screen here. Hold on a second here. Great radio. Sorry. I went to one of those Nitros in like 99 when they had changed the set. And I remember being like so disappointed that's what they came up with.
You know, I never went to a Nitro or a Thunder or, you know, I only went to one WCW event my entire life. And that was the first sold out in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
The only pay-per-view, Justin, to ever happen in the state of Iowa.
Yeah.
You were at.
I was there.
They did have a Saturday night's main event in Des Moines, but this one
there
right here,
it is.
That's the WCW Nitro set we're referring to. If you're not familiar, terrible.
Look at that garbage.
The WW that separated as they came down the weird entrance ramp where they had to like step over the sea, and very strange. And you got the stars in the background. Yes. Now do not replicate that, but the original Nitro set would be totally fine with me. So yeah, we will be tuning in. I will not be watching it live. Will you be watching it live, Justin?
I'm not sure yet. Probably not, but we'll see.
I debated on us doing a podcast like the next day for instant reaction, but then it was like, it's going to be episode 300. I need some time to get some things together for that. I'm going to be watching on delay because I'm patron of the show, Mr. Ryan Huffman. He's been a guest on the show before. Getting married this weekend. Again, congrats to he and his fiance Stephanie on their wedding. So I'll be at that, and that'll be coming back.
It's going to be
late
Father's Day.
Father's Day Sunday, so probably not the best day to podcast.
I'm really going to try and get to the Flash this weekend, which might happen Saturday night.
Oh, yes. So we'll have to talk about our next week's show probably Thursday night. Yes, I'll be like fresh back from Chicago. Going with Tim Jensen, patron of the show, Tim Jensen. Guys, if you're out there, by the way, and you're going to be at Dynamite on Wednesday, please let me know. You know, let us know in the group. Send a tweet to us at Top Rope Nation. Let me know. Go ahead, Justin.
Oh, I was just going to say, speaking of movies, I went to Across the Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Last weekend. Fucking ruled. Loved it.
I need to see that.
It was definitely fantastic. Highly recommend it to any comic book nerds out there, especially if you liked Into the Spider-Verse at all.
Yeah.
I think this one's on the same level.
Very nice. Yeah, it's on my list. I'm going to check it out. Justin, here's something for you. I saw this going around on social media today, talking about where should MJF be on the card at Forbidden Door. What do you make of this argument? People are starting to say, you know, they're looking at the ratings and they're saying, look, this is proof. MJF is not the man to be world champion. He's not a draw. The ratings are going down right now. Do you think that's an overreaction? Do you blame MJF? Do you think this is an indictment? There's a phrase we've heard in the news recently. Is this an indictment of MJF as world champion?
I think we're mostly beyond the era of one man drawing an audience. Mm-hmm. I think it's the entire show that's going to draw eyeballs, not just one person. I mean, you have outliers like Punk's return, you know, I mean, but Punk's on a whole nother level than MJF. I mean, did Danielson even draw that much when he came back? Did he change the ratings? Show
kind of an upswing during that because it's so many things happening.
Like yeah, that's
Punk had just come back. Brian Cole, yeah.
So, I mean, no, I really wouldn't put it on MJF. I don't think they've done a lot of favors to him with the title reign the past few months. They really need to elevate that this summer. But no, I think it's just been, the product hasn't even been bad.
Mm-hmm.
It just has felt a little flat. And the shows have been inconsistent. You've kind of noticed after a great show, the next week ratings are normally a lot better. So yeah. I wouldn't put any pressure on, you know, the bad ratings for just this past show that we really enjoyed.
Yeah. You know, it's weird. They're at this weird point with AEW because they don't have the same kind of momentum that they had in late 2021, for sure, where they felt like really this promotion on the rise, but they're still having great events. They got this huge gate coming up over in the UK, you know, where, last I looked, they are at over 66,000 paid now for All In. So like one of the biggest gates in the history of European wrestling. But then, yeah, like the ratings are down a little bit, but we've kind of talked about this before too, because like it's fluctuating, but like it's not that much. We're talking about like the difference of like 50, 100,000 people. Their 18 to 49 rating is still good. You know, they rank, I said at the top, they were number 3 on cable last night, despite coming in at 832,000 viewers. Now, there was a huge rating for the Yankees and Mets, shout out Frank, going on over in New York. 1.9 million people last night watched that game on ESPN, and I'm sure that affected the Dynamite rating,
mm-hmm.
you know, the New York market. So that definitely took a bite out of their numbers, but still, they come in at number 3 on cable. So, like, yes, the ratings are in a downswing, but yes, also they have this big gate coming up in the UK. It's a big month for them. They got the video game coming up. You know, Forbidden Door is going to be a great show, even though it is for the hardcores. They got the TV contract coming up. So it is a really critical point for this company right now. We don't know exactly like how Collision factors in. You know, has there been a renewal? You know, do they have some kind of an agreement with Turner? Like, what's happening here? You would think so with them launching this new show, but nothing concrete has come out yet on that. But yeah, I mean, long term, if you look at the ebbs and flows of this company, I think that you still have to look at them as, they might go through some of these, like I said, these ebbs and flows, but eventually they're moving in a pretty solid direction, I think. You know, they're increasing their exposure. They're going to be out there on the video game systems. They're touring the world now. They're going to get re-upped and get a new television deal. And so, yeah, even if the ratings are might be down 100,000, maybe 200,000 from where you want them to be, I can't blame one guy for that. I can't say it's because MJF is champion.
Yeah,
I think MJF's one of the best things on the show every week. He was tremendous last night, by the way, when he went out in the crowd. I mean, just the guy's a hilarious heel. I mean,
I saw nerds on Twitter complaining about that. I was like, that's not being a heel. Shut up. Jesus.
Yeah.
That is being a heel. That was everything about being a heel until like the last 15 years.
Yeah, no, he's one of the most entertaining things on the show. And I don't think you can blame him either. I wanted to pose that question for you because I've seen some talk about that going on social media. I think it's ridiculous to say, oh, this is proof MJF is not drawing. I do think we'll see a bump to the numbers with Punk's return, and especially if they get him on Dynamite once in a while and they promote that ahead of time. Punk's definitely a draw. No matter what Eric Bischoff tells you, Punk is a draw. We saw it when he came back. How much of a draw? Did he bump the numbers to 2 million? No, but is that rational in today's television environment with a company that's barely 4 years old? No, you're not going to double your numbers, but he did increase their numbers. They were over 1 million, you know, pretty solidly for a while there. So I think for a new company, they're in a good place. Yes, you'd like to see them doing a little bit better right now from the ratings standpoint. But I know that Time Warner or Warner Brothers Discovery, I should say, they're happy with what they're doing when you look at it from a demographic point of view. And that's what matters for advertisers, that they are at number 3 on cable last night. Would you like to see them number 1? Yes, but as Frank noted here in the chat, he wasn't going to turn off that baseball game. And I'm sure there's a lot of people in the biggest metro in the country, in the New York area, that weren't going to turn off the baseball game for the Subway Series going on right now. So, you know, you had real sports competition, just like you've had, you know, the NBA finals here and the NBA playoffs recently as well, and the NHL. So there's always competition out there. Overall, I think it's a good picture for him right now.
Was the broadcast of that Mets Yankees game just 3 hours of the sound of money being flushed down the toilet by both franchises?
You're going to get Frank going in the chat. Just start egging him on.
Me and Frank are good. That was a dig at the Yankees too.
I know. Yeah.
That team has just broke my heart the last 20 years.
Oh, we feel so bad for you Yankees fans.
I know, right?
So bad.
I've only experienced like 4 world championships or something like that.
Yankees, Celtics.
Yep.
I mean,
49ers.
49ers.
Tottenham and all of their championships.
Okay, there you go. Tottenham is your one struggling franchise during your lifetime.
I haven't seen them win a championship since 61, I think.
Well, yeah, that's your one suffering franchise.
And that was the one team that like I picked. As an adult, that's going to be my team. The rest of them were kind of thrust upon me by my parent or my dad.
Yeah, we do that, don't we, to our kids? We curse them with our sports teams. I've already cursed my children with all my favorite Chicago sports teams. You're going to like the Cubs. You're going to like the Bears. You're going to like the Bulls. Sorry about this in advance. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, guys. I think we're going to wrap it up. That's pretty much what we had on the agenda.
Nope. We did not talk about the end of Dynamite.
Didn't we?
Nope.
What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the one thing that kind of bummed me out about the show.
Oh, yeah, because you hinted something bummed you out. Okay.
The end of Dynamite was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish they kind of would have just saved Eddie Kingston for another time. Because, I mean, obviously Eddie Kingston's not going to get overshadowed by Takeshita.
Yeah.
But Takeshita came out right after Eddie. And they were both immediately overshadowed by Kenny Omega coming back and then Will Ospreay making a surprise appearance. And it just made me feel like Eddie was an afterthought. And I think he is more than that and should be perceived and treated as more than that. I loved everything that he did going right after Claudio. And just my favorite part of the entire show was the standoff with Mox, you know, where they might fight for a second and then very, you know, casually Mox kind of lowered his arms. But that was the one thing that kind of bummed me out. It's Tony laid it out a little bit better when he kind of did something similar at All Out 2021, where it was kind of surprise, surprise, surprise. This one wasn't quite as well laid out, in my opinion. Thoughts?
Yeah, it felt like a fireworks show, right?
Yeah,
like it's the grand so finale quick. And just going to throw everything at you. Boom, 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 boom. That's exactly what it was. I agree. I loved the, you know, the questioning of what was going to happen between him and Mox and that face off. But yeah, I did kind of feel like an afterthought, especially when you had Ospreay and Omega, you know, and Takeshita's involvement. Yeah. Him too. Eddie's bigger than him, like traditionally in AEW, I guess you could say, maybe not forever, but, if it was just Takeshita, I didn't think it would overshadow Eddie, but yeah, when Ospreay came out and the Omega thing, yeah, then it kind of got buried. Yeah, that's a hard analysis because they were trying to shock you and throw everything at you to really make the headlines and make it memorable, which I liked. But yeah, I think you're right. In a perfect world, you'd want to bring back Eddie where he can simmer and kind of stand on his own a little bit more, for sure. And so yeah, I didn't look at it at the time as something that bummed me out. But yeah, when you say that, I agree with your criticism on it. I was just, when I was watching it live, I was just so amped up. everything that happened, boom, boom, boom. I was jacked at the end of that.
I was excited, but then I was immediately like, oh, wait, like I already forgot about Eddie, like 5 minutes after the show, you know, ended. Cause I'm thinking about, you know, the future feud between Omega and Takeshita and the big match between Omega and Ospreay, which is all good, but I don't understand why they just couldn't hold off on the Eddie surprise, even like one more week, save it for another Dynamite. But as Jesse pointed out in our chat here, he's going to be in the G1.
Yeah.
So like, I can't imagine they're going to have some deep AEW or Ring of Honor story for him going forward. You assume that the Claudio match is coming. I don't know if they'll do that at Death Before Dishonor or, I still kind of want them to save that for Final Battle and really build up Claudio's title reign. But yeah, I don't know. It was also really good. Like you said, it was exciting. That was just kind of my one nitpick that I wanted to make sure we touched on.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we're not going to get any follow-up really, like not in a long-term sense until August, till the G1 wrap. So yeah, great point from Jesse here in the chat. And make sure you subscribe to Jesse on YouTube, by the way, because he is streaming his shows live right now. I want to promote that. Subscribe to the Unplugged Wrestling Podcast on YouTube. And thanks to Jesse for tuning in. Yeah, Justin.
What was that Lois Rule shirt? Do you have any idea what that was?
Either. I knew you were going to ask me that, and I was going to Google it after the show, and I forgot to. I was like, I bet Justin's going to bring this up on the pod.
It was obviously like paying homage to something with Hulk, but I don't know who Lois is. And honestly, it was a little jarring seeing Eddie in such like a look, obviously a fresh, nice, new, bright red t-shirt. It was kind of strange, but hopefully somebody can let us know what that is.
It's sold on Pro Wrestling Tees. There's something behind this, and I just feel like people watching this probably know and think we're idiots, but I have no idea what that is about.
Jesse says Tony Schiavone. Is that his wife or something?
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, because it is on the... Is that on Tony's page on Pro Wrestling Tees? It might be. Jeez, Tony Schiavone. The amount of shirts this guy has on Pro Wrestling Tees. 5 pages of shirts.
Holy shit.
And they got like, I don't know how many on each page. It's like, God, 20 to 30 on each page. This guy's got like over 100 t-shirts on here.
Got to make that money.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. His wife, Lois. All right. That makes sense. Frank mentioned in the chat, I didn't mention the Chicago Blackhawks as a favorite team. That's true. I will totally admit I do like hockey, but I'm definitely more of a fair weather hockey fan. I haven't been watching the Blackhawks as much after the Stanley Cup runs ended, but I am definitely going to be watching them coming forward since they got the number one pick and they got that generational talent, Connor Bedard, on the way. So I will be tuning into the Blackhawks, and maybe my kids as Blackhawks fans will have it a little bit better. Although I think the Bears are on the rise. We'll see this.
Justin. I am not a hockey fan, but I think the Blackhawks uniform and logo might be top 10 in all sports for me. Great looking set.
Yeah. Yeah. I do like the Blackhawks a lot. I do. But like, I'm not going to sit around and watch bad hockey and torture myself. When they were on the run, I watched them all the time. You know, kind of like, I mean, I'm a huge Cubs fan, but like the last few years, I haven't watched that much of the Cubs because you're in this rebuilding phase. This year I've watched them quite a bit and it's kind of been fun and disappointing.
That's what, you know, that's why
games, you know, like football, I'm never going to miss a game. When the Bulls are bad, I'm not watching them that often.
I hate the fair weather fan criticism, because I've gotten shit from friends because, you know, I watch almost no regular season Yankees and I don't really pay attention when my teams are really bad. Cause like, why would I want to do that to myself? Doesn't make any sense. Like you said, I don't want to watch a crap product.
Right. I mean, with football, like I haven't missed a Bears game probably since I don't know when, maybe the 90s, but like 16, 17 games, you know, I can see all of those. And
that's a big difference. Yeah.
I'm not going to watch every 162 games or 82 games just with a bad team. I'll tune in here and there and I'll read about the games and stuff. But yeah, I've definitely been tuned out of the Blackhawks, but I was jacked when they got the number one pick because, got a generational talent on the way. Hopefully he pans out in the way that he is supposed to, but we will see. All right. That's it, Justin. 299 in the books. Episode 300 coming at you next week. Get those messages in. TopRopeNation@gmail.com. Become a patron. Check out their recent classics show on Super Brawl 1. It was an excellent show. Justin, you texted me right after we got done recording. And we were not sure how that one was going to turn out. Because as we were tuning in to Super Brawl, we were like, oh man, this is kind of a dog of a show. But then like the second half of the show was really good. And then Matthew was just great on that show. He really made it for us. Yeah.
And yeah, it was one of those things. I had never podcasted with Matthew before, of whom I called Matt during the entire fucking show, like a complete moron. But I had an absolute blast on that show. The podcast is 1,000 times better than the pay-per-view itself.
It's true.
We do this basically with every show, but I texted you before that one. I was like, this is going to be the shortest classics ever because my notes are sparse. This is basically a one match show in my opinion. And then it ended up being one of our longest ones ever.
Like top three or four. Yeah. It was pretty incredible. So yeah, if you sign up on Patreon, like I said, they have a 7-day free trial. Now you hear the whole thing. And in those first 7 days, it's a free trial. You can also hear our WrestleMania 17 show from back in March, which ended up being Kyle's last podcast on Top Rope Nation. So if you want to hear that whole thing, sign up on Patreon as well. That was the longest classics we've ever done. That was a really good one as well. So link here in the broadcast description. All right, Justin, I hope you have a good weekend. I don't know if I'll be seeing you or not. Probably not, since it's Father's Day, but we got to get together again very soon.
Absolutely.
And my kid's still talking about those ribs, man. Working magic on the grill.
Love it. Until you take her to Memphis, then I'm going to be second rate.
Yep. Shout out Derek Chappelle. Hoping to see him while I'm down there this summer.
Nice. Well,
yes, indeed. All right, guys. This was a blast. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. We'll catch you all next week. Have a great weekend and take care.
Peace.
Thank you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.